it's great to be here and to inaugurate this new space. I know if it's a boat, you hit a bottle of champagne. I'm not going to break any glass, but if this was a model for something that's parallel to the Brooklyn Bridge, which I hope will be built, it's a parallel pedestrian walkway.
It will go across the bridge and be able to see the bridge. So,
as a lifelong New Yorker, I love to have had that explained by you, and of course, one of the great American poems for me is Art Cranes the Bridge. And there's a wonderful essay by Samuel R. Delaney about the bridge, a little bit different than a lot of people think. So Delaney talks about the bars at each end of the bridge that Art Crane inhabited while listening to, like, over and over one track of Bolero to get that ecstasy. He would go across the bridge for brief, transient moments of ecstasy. Let's put it like that. This piece, I'm sure you don't know Delaney's view about the Brooklyn Bridge, but this allows that for us all to linger as we go across from Manhattan to Brooklyn. And it's even if it doesn't occur, as you say, it makes no difference, but it would be great. I'm going to start with something I wrote in 1999. It's an excerpt from an essay that was called The Book as Architecture. Can you hear me back there?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
The acoustics work.
The acoustics work, evidently. This is also testing out the acoustical space. Architectural terms are more than just metaphors for reading, yet it's difficult to track the parallels without getting impossibly abstract or painfully elusive. You can start with the idea of grammatical space and Louis Kahn's idea that material, and I would include verbal material, is spent light. Something of the darkness of reading comes out in this phrase, a reminder of the opaque spaces of the interior that poetry can aspire toward as easily back away from. The sightless interrogative of writing, its blackening of the page, a resistance to the oppressive insistence of visibility. Aldo Rossi's topology of fractures, contaminations, areas of waiting, and intermediate non-determinate units are as much terms for a new prosody as a new architecture. The constructing of grammatical space through various forms of sequencing pervades all levels of writing, from the ordering of syllables, words, phrases, lines, and stanzas within a poem to the overall arrangement of poems in a book. Poetic composition consists of a series of displacements, constantly opening up upon new emplacements. Or, to speak literally of metaphors, composition consists of measuring or registering a series of dislocations that produces the poem's motion or kinesis. In organizing my books and readings, including this one, I tried to invent different ways of ordering the individual pieces, avoiding where possible both chronological and thematical developmental patterns. This can be something like constructing a durational tunnel that a reader can ride through, like riding through a multi-channel house of horrors at an amusement park. The creation of durational spaces in a poem, great but empty halls, narrow corridors, closets, enclosed pools, formal picture galleries, often on-ramps, pulleys, and trap doors between levels, produces an internal or negative in the sense of inverted or inner architecture. You are entering a building through a dark and musty sub-basement. Proceeding a few steps, you trip an elevator platform and are whisked to what is something like the 23rd floor, where you are stepping out onto an abandoned soundstage for a 1930 production of a Fenimore Cooper story. Sighting a ladder, you climb up a flight onto a floor filled with hundreds of irregularly shaped cubicles populated by women dressed as matadors. Against the romantic idea of poems as transport, I prefer to imagine poems as spatializations and interiorizations, blueprints of a world I live near to, but have not yet occupied fully. building impossible spaces in which to roam, unhinged from the contingent necessities of durability, poems and the books they make eclipse stasis in their insatiable desire to dwell inside the pleats and folds of language. So that got me thinking. That old essay was a good one to read today. And then I thought of this poem, which I've slightly modified for this event, The Lie of Architecture. I don't want innovative architecture. I don't want experimental architecture. I don't want conceptual architecture. I don't want abstract architecture. I don't want figurative architecture. I don't want original architecture. I don't want formal architecture. I don't want emotional architecture. I don't want nostalgic architecture. I don't want sentimental architecture. I don't want complacent architecture. I don't want erotic architecture. I don't want boring architecture. I don't want mediocre architecture. I don't want political architecture. I don't want empty architecture. I don't want Baroque architecture. I don't want mannered architecture. I don't want minimal architecture. I don't want plain architecture. I don't want vernacular architecture. I don't want artificial architecture. I don't want pretentious architecture. I don't want idea architecture. I don't want thing architecture. I don't want naturalistic architecture. I don't want rhetorical architecture. I don't want dull architecture. I don't want rhapsodic architecture. I don't want rigid architecture. I don't want informal architecture. I don't want celebratory architecture. I don't want cerebral architecture. I don't want formulaic architecture. I don't want sardonic architecture. I don't want sadistic architecture, masochistic architecture, trendy architecture, adolescent architecture, senescent architecture, grumpy architecture, happy architecture. I don't want severe architecture. I don't want demanding architecture. I don't want tempestuous architecture. I don't want incendiary architecture, commercial architecture, moralizing architecture, transgressive architecture, violent architecture, exemplary architecture, uplifting architecture, degrading architecture. I don't want melancholy architecture. I don't want chaotic architecture. I don't want provocative architecture. I don't want self-satisfied architecture. I don't want nurturing architecture. I don't want genuine architecture. I don't want derivative architecture, religious architecture, authentic architecture. I don't want sincere architecture. I don't want sacred architecture. I don't want profane architecture. I don't want mystical architecture, voyeuristic architecture, traditional architecture, expectable architecture, hopeful architecture. I don't want irreverent architecture. I don't want process architecture. I don't want static architecture. I don't want urban architecture. I don't want pure architecture. I don't want ideological architecture. I don't want spontaneous architecture. I don't want pious architecture. I don't want comprehensible architecture. I don't want enigmatic architecture. I don't want epic architecture. I don't want lyric architecture. I don't want familiar architecture. I don't want alien architecture. I don't want human architecture.
So this is a poem that I wrote with an artist named David Balula, who input almost all of my writing, essays and poems, into an AI program. This was several years ago. And we worked for a couple of years picking It's cutting out lines, but nothing is written by me. It's all written by the output of the program. And this is just one poem of a whole book, which is coming out in Italy, actually, Nero Editions. Just to emphasize, this poem is not written by me, but human-assisted AI. And the poem is called, I Am the Shadow of Poet Charles Bernstein. And the name of the book, I should say, is Poetry Has No Future Unless It Comes to an End.
You could say architecture, too.
I guess. I've been going back and forth between this place where I am the least favorite son and this house where I'm most favored. I've started to wonder if it's possible for me to be who I am. I know it's not possible for me to do your reality, but it's a thing that I feel. I began to see the darker side of Charles. I had to see myself reflected in him and to take this courage to walk into his room and turn off his lights. He was supposed to be a joker. I'm not supposed to be on the cover of all these poetry magazines, but his could be my place, to be in the sunlight, and nobody would know. I take a swig of Coke, am able to calm myself, not completely numb. I had begun to take some risks. I figured that because Charles could be my son, I should feel like my dad. I know that sometimes I can be all about him in the same moment. I'm getting more aggressive in my threats. Other times I'm not. Charles just seemed to be there, always there. When we meet, he will push me back. I won't say anything. This entire time, I'm smiling. She cannot hear you. It doesn't care whether you like it or not. But I did select the lines. Okay, so this goes back to something Tim said. Richard Tuttle and I collaborated on many things, but over the COVID period, we collaborated on poems, so no visual element to this. Went back and forth over email. And the poem had to do with the oculus. So this is another architectural theme. The oculus, for some of you that don't know about it or haven't seen it, is this the giant ovular space where the World Trade Center, next to the World Trade Center site. I had problems with that space, and Richard and I talk about that and other things in the poem. So the reference in the oculus has to do with this particular interior of this building. And I'm just reading sections that I wrote in this collaboration with Richard, which is another book that's going to come out to be published by Cuneiform Press, Kyle Schlesinger, I hope, in the next 6 months or so. So it's a book-length long poem. Container ships contain containers. The pandemic's uncontainable. Container ship on container ships. The U.S. could not contain Vietnam. Whitman contained multiples. The oculus contains the Apple Store. Two parallel lines intersect at infinity, which turns out to be closer than you think. I can't contain myself. Container ships contain containers. The envelope eloped with the square. Container ships ship containers. The mirror's tane is its tail. Dig it, can't contain itself. I go left when I want to go right, east for west, south when aiming north. I am so consistently wrong that I must also be right, but in the reverse. Or maybe orientation reverses me. Even if I go south thinking it's north, but correcting for my condition, I still go wrong. Disorientation is a kind of vertigo, not always unpleasant, but pumped up on spatial meth, it sure is, at the oculus. Where cockle shells make silver bells,
is where I want to be, far from the blunt reality of brute causality. I used to ask graduate students at their PhD qualifying exams, I see Whitman's Crossing Brooklyn Ferry is on your list. Why didn't he take the bridge? Pause, thump, pause. I propose that the BQE be turned into the Brooklyn High Line, a project for jogging, scenic views, and marijuana peddlers. Punch! Whap! Punch! Meant as resilience, mushroom cloud oculus, as Homer could have put it, embodies frozen despair. A Franciscan, Dominican, and Benedictine were in a saloon, and the barkeep asked, what's the difference between conversion and conversation? The Franciscan said, it's a matter of purpose. The Dominican said, there's no difference. And the Benedictine, sipping brandy, said, better to ask a Jesuit. Some say life is a dream, but I say to live is to dream. Some say to live is a dream, but I say dreams will never get you anywhere. Some say dreams will never get you anywhere, but I say anywhere is now. Some say anywhere is now, but I say hold your hat. Some say hold your hat. But I say the sky is falling. Some say the sky is falling. But I say to fall is to dream. A tear in the linings, no cause for despair. Who will mend it? Who will mend it? Who will mind it? Who will mend it? A rip in the ocean, a crack in the sky. Try to mend it. Try to mend it. The absence of color is still a color. The presence of color is still an absence. This morning, between our stanzas, the Russian Leviathan puts screws on Ukraine and we'll see what levitation is possible. But there is surely no levity, or what levity there is shadowed by anxiety. Thinking of a picture my mother gave me of her mother with her mother's mother, in Odessa in the 1890s. Bertie, my grandmother, born Bertha, the only grandparent I knew, came to Brooklyn a few years after the photo when she was 7, traveling alone in steerage, bound for a foreign world. Jewish Odessa of the late 19th century exists now as ghosts, as shadows, even as Jews endure there. In relation to me, homely, in Brooklyn, its relation to me, homely in Brooklyn, is as tenuous as white thread against white sky. Is the oculus a site of mourning or triumph? Or is it sly enough to work both ways? Would I feel better watching the bombing of Ukraine on a cascade of ricocheting iPads at the Apple store on the ground floor, or listening to the BBC on my AirPods as I stroll around Ground Zero? When this is all over, let's have Gergiev conduct Charles Ives's The Unanswered Questions at the Oculus, as if it were an amphitheater. But this will never be all over. Will it? So that's the end of the excerpt from my collaboration with Richard Tuttle, a short poem for George Lakoff on Mother's Day called The Father. Some say the rule of law, but I say what I say goes. Some say democracy, but I say What I say goes. Some say justice. But I say what I say goes. Some say truth. I say what I say goes. Some say liberty. But I say what I say goes. Some say equality. But I say what I say goes. Some say pandemic. But I say what I say goes. Some say climate change. But I say what I say goes. Some say elections. But I say what I say goes. Some say free press, but I say what I say goes. This poem is called Psalm. We were never we, nor I, me, nor you, you. They were never they, nor it, it. Was, never was, nor is. May not be, can. Say was never said, nor told telling. Be was never be, nor. Sing never was song, nor longing, anything but long. Here was never here, nor there. Time never was in time, nor tuned. Death never died, nor life quite live. Day never was bright, nor night without light. Light never was light, nor shadow shade. Stills never still, nor silence. Other was never other, nor is same the same. Sure never was sure. We never were we, nor I, me, nor you. They never were they, nor was it. Was never was, nor is ever is. It's great to be part of this series with so many wonderful poets who preceded me getting this award, so many friends and so many great poets. So I want to acknowledge that series that I am a part of. This is a short poem called Malediction for Habib Tengwar. My diction's at the glue factory, while I'm all akimbo, what with the state of this and failure of that, addicted to news never was new, just a downward spin of a story heard long ago, and then Just a downward spin of a story heard long ago and can't kick. Something about dead ends just before the roads go public, or meaning one thing and saying two, you know, for both of us, all three. Remember those Westerns where they're always saying, we'll head him off at the pass? I keep trying, but it never works. They always beat me to it. Or maybe I went to the wrong pass. This is a poem for Ian Probstein, and based on his translations of the work of Osip Mandelstam, and it has an epigraph of my translation from one of Mandelstam's first poems. On the window panes of eternity, my breath, my warmth has already settled into such wonderful window panes in this space, bringing that poem to mind. I am neither referent nor refugee nor redeemer, projector nor projection, draft nor final cut, neither the one who calls nor the one chosen, anagram nor abstraction. My breath disappears from the window more quickly than it formed. This is a questionnaire, and you can note your responses and give them to the staff here. And the question that you're answering is a set of choices. Why do you love the poem? For the sentiment. Then you don't love the poem, you love the sentiment. For the message, then you don't love the poem, you love the message. For the music, then you don't love the poem, you love the music. For the spirit, then you don't love the poem, you love the spirit. For the intelligence, then you don't love the poem, you love the intelligence. For the courage, then you don't love the poem, you love the courage. For the inspiration, then you don't love the poem, you love the inspiration. For the emotion, then you don't love the poem, you love the emotion. For the vocabulary, then you don't love the poem, you love the vocabulary. For the poet, then you don't love the poem, you love the poet. For what it stands for, then you don't love the poem, you love what it stands for. For the words, then you don't love the poem, you love the words. For the syntax, then you don't love the poem, you love the syntax. For the politics, then you don't love the poem, you love the politics. For the beauty, then you don't love the poem, you love the beauty. For the outrage, then you don't love the poem, you love the outrage. For the tenderness, then you don't love the poem, you love the tenderness. For the hope, then you don't love the poem, you love the hope. For itself, then you love the poem. This is a very short poem, one of the three last, and it's called Theodicy. Theodicy. Or is it Theocracy? Or the Odyssey? I get all those words mixed up. One thing's for sure, God better not still be playing dice, because they are already deep in a hole, and knees will be broken before the night is out. And not just knees. This short poem is called, What Were You Saying About Althusser Creating a Turn in Marxist Thought? Barbarism in the morning, socialism most every night. Don't know whether to cry in shame or just turn out the light. A change is coming, I feel it in my bones. An ill wind blowing, time to pack my bags and head for home. Barbarism all morning, socialism in the night. Chopped liver on a matzah will surely make it right. And my last poem, by coincidence, but delightful, is written for Barbara Anceschi, published a book of mine in Italy for Il Verri in Milano, and it's an Italian-themed poem. It's called Wheat and Chaff Rumba. South of Naples, north of desire, I lost my way in the middle of a choir. Blinds of clay, splints of wire, filaments of no degree, rumbling against fire. Silly, something, seraphim, pickles with feijoada, graceless curtains, listless spires, incunabula, bound in briars. Show me the baloney, I'll give you 5-1. No percentage clamming up or quarreling all the liars. Slow motion, sudden moves, tipsy till the top. Bottoms up, make believe, dance until you drop.